This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
And so when we think about sort of the grieving process and the mourning process, right after we lose someone that we love, we enter into what we call the acute phase of grief. So the acute phase of grief would be this initial form of grief that is often intense, dominates the mind of a bereaved person. This is the where we're like difficulty going to work. We are difficult eating, sleeping, focusing, concentrating. Perhaps we're in the height of denial or sort of numb, you know, as we're going through the funeral process or they're making arrangements, we can feel very detached and numb. So this is where we see acute grief. And this would be in the initial months following the loss. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 months after the loss is what we see as acute grief. And then in time, and no exact time, but in time, we hope to, and most of us move into what we call integrated grief. So this is a quieter form of grief. This is a place where the loved one still lives within us. But I like to say, like, the sharp edges of grief. So if we think about grief as like living in this box of us, all of the sharp edges that used to like really dig into us every time we think about our loved one, they start to dull a little bit. And now they become a little bit more manageable, more quiet. So the grief is still there. It's accessible, but it's not dominating our mind, and we're able to regain our capacity to engage in life and feel connected to the world around us again. But what happens when that doesn't happen? So that we can move into what we call prolonged grief. So prolonged grief is a form of grief that's more persistent and intense and preoccupying and impairs functioning for far longer than what we would expect. And what we actually see with prolonged grief is that those who struggle with prolonged grief do not work with the old adage, time heals all wounds, right? When we think about that, like, oh, time heals all wounds. Yes, that's lovely. But for those who are dealing with prolonged grief, it's actually the opposite. As time goes on, their grief intensifies. Life becomes harder. They become more disconnected from their family or friends. Maybe their family and friends are getting frustrated and annoyed and have just like, don't understand what's happening. And so they withdraw even more because people don't understand them. And so this can go on indefinitely. And in fact, in my time as a grief therapist, I've worked with people who sadly are 10, 15, and up to 20 years since the loss, and they are grieving just as intensely as the first month. So that's what we call prolonged grief. So when we think about grieving as well, as we're sort of moving through the acute phase of grief, the thoughts and feelings can be mixed, and they can occur naturally. So we can sort of have this back and forth tug of war between two differing ideas. So for example, when we think about the experience of grief, we might want the grief to go away. Like, oh, this is so painful. This is so painful. I don't want to feel this way anymore. But also feeling like I really want to hold on to this grief. This grief is like what I have left of my loved one, and I don't want to let that go. Or maybe we want to be free of the pain and the suffering, but think that we should suffer forever. What would it say about me if I wasn't still suffering? I've seen people who are parents and they feel convinced that what would it say about me as a mother if I wasn't suffering anymore? It would mean that I didn't love my child as much as I really could have. And I don't want to have that statement about myself. So there's this sort of tug of war, push pull between, I don't want to feel this pain, but if I let go of this pain, what would that mean about me? So wanting to sort of move on, and that's a term I don't like to use a lot, but people do, wanting to move on with life, but also feeling like we want to keep things exactly the way it is. Feeling a need to be with other people, but also feeling like I can't connect with people. I need to pull away from people. Oh my God, the people keep calling me, keep texting me. I don't have it in me to even respond. Knowing loss is real, but also having a difficult time understanding it. So for example, I think about grief work as like helping our intellectual mind meet with where our emotional mind is. So our intellectual mind knows that our loved one is gone. But our emotional mind cannot come to terms with that at all. And so there'll be this tug of war between what our intellectual mind knows and our emotional mind does not want to know. So maybe we crave closeness to the person we lost, but also feel too much pain when we look at photos and memories. So you can see how confusing this could be for a griever. It's like these two like diametrically different ideas and thoughts that can exist in the frame of 10 seconds. So it can really be something that we can struggle with. So what does adapting to loss look like? So it's changing our expectations of automatic behaviors to fit a change in new world. And so many of us in the grief world think about adaptation to loss as a learning experience. It's something that we're trying to learn and re-experience in the new world, right? So we're trying to A, accept the reality of the loss and restore the capacity for well-being. We're trying to do these two things at once. So we're trying to accept the reality, which is the most painful thing. For those of us grieving, accepting the reality of something that we absolutely do not want to be true is so terribly painful that we will do anything to avoid that and thinking about that. Avoiding the finality of the loss and the permanence. We want to think about a changed relationship to the person. But we also need to find a way to restore capacity for well-being again, right? So we need to be able to sort of adapt to this new reality and accept all that it means, but also find a way to re-engage in our life. We can't just do one. Adapting to loss needs to have both. So we want to think about possibilities for purpose and meaning, joy and satisfaction, a sense of competence, like, oh, I wasn't able to do these things before, but now I can. I never had to pay those bills before on my own, but look at me, now I can. And the promise of satisfying and meaningful relationships. These are really key as well. So when we accept the reality and restore our capacity to thrive, grief becomes integrated. It finds a place to live in our life, and the physiology can become re-regulated. And so I think one of the key things that I can give, like if people ask me for a tip as a grief therapist, like, what is one thing that can help me adapt to my loss? I think about the dual process model. And really, the dual process model is about an oscillation between touching the grief and putting it away and restoring your capacity to engage in life. So it's rather than a linear process that the stages of grief gave us, the dual process model allows for a back and forth. And so whether you are grieving the loss of someone you love or dealing with a really stressful life event or something that's really hard, this is a key part of resilience, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. The dual process model allows us to like touch that stuff and then totally put it away. And people will say to me, well, that just sounds like a distraction, and distractions don't sound healthy. I'll say, no, it's actually the opposite. Don't use the word distraction. Use the word restoration. I am trying to restore myself so that I can go back to that painful thing again. So this back and forth really is a helpful way to cope and adapt to a loss.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.